Welcome to Your Story Doesn't End Here, the mental health podcast of military and veterans who refuse to be silenced. I'm your host, Rachel, and my mission with this podcast is to be a voice for those who don't have a voice, bring awareness to mental health issues, provide value and solutions, and to change the culture when it comes to mental health within the DoD organizations. Hey, everyone, and thank you so much for coming back for another episode of Your Story Doesn't End Here. Today, I have two guests on the show, Beth Dolan and Sheila Higgins. I had met Beth, I think it was, goodness, almost a year ago now, found her on social media. And funny story, I was just searching hashtags related to mental health, military mental health on Instagram, and had come across this film, Stranger at Home. Took a leap of faith, reached out to Beth, and she was so incredible reaching back out to me. And out of all this conversation, we decided to bring this film Stranger at Home to Oak Harbor, Washington, where I live, where I served in the Navy for most of my Navy career. And we'll get into talking about all of that. Sheila is also associated with the film Stranger at Home. I'm going to let them introduce themselves here in a minute so you can learn more about who they are, what their roles are with this film. But I am so excited to have them on the show to just share more with you guys. And if you get a chance to check out this film when it does release, please do, because it is so incredible. I love everything about Stranger at Home and its mission and its message. It resonates so much with Your Story Doesn't End Here and the work that I've been doing. So I'm going to pass it off to you first, Beth, to introduce yourself. And then Sheila, if you could follow and introduce yourself right after.
Well, thank you, Rachel. It's a real honor to be here and, you know, and be with Sheila. You know, this is a labor of love, what we're all doing. I am a co-producer. I'm sort of the lead sled dog producer on the documentary, our feature-length documentary, Stranger at Home. And I'm also one of the co-directors of the film. I am blessed to be surrounded by a very small and mighty producing team. One of them is here with us today, Sheila Higgins. And, you know, we started to make this film real fast. We started to make this film 10 years ago in November. And we are going to be having our national broadcast debut with PBS this coming November. So it's a wonderful look back of how far we've come. It's a story that we needed to tell, each of us personally, and then collectively, a creative collective. It's been quite a journey to get to this point. So, you know, we'll get into what the, you know, what the film's about, but it is about our military mental health. And we're just really honored that we're going to be seeing you in Oak Harbor in a week. Rachel, you've done an amazing job putting this event together. I describe you as one of the most passionate and determined people I've met on the journey of making this film, and that is true. It's inspired us to just be there with you to screen the film and talk openly about the military mental health issue, which is where your passion is, the stories that you're telling in your work and living it in your own life as well. So it's just a real thrill to be here today and look forward to, you know, just sharing more as we go forward in the conversation.
Thank you so much, Beth. I appreciate the kind words. Mm-hmm. And Sheila?
Yeah, I, like Beth said, we kind of are a mighty little team and we all wear various hats to pull this one off. Mm-hmm. And I've co-produced, run camera. We have Lou Remisar, who is the main editor on this project. I also edit, but it was Lou's masterful work in the editing process, with a lot of the stylized look that he created, Beth and he banging it out in the edit bay and running it by me and giving my input, et cetera, et cetera. So it was a very collaborative process over the pandemic when we finally got into the edit bay. And because I couldn't be up there with them, they did quite a bit would show me, we'd talk about. And so it was such an incredible experience over the 10 years. And it's a project on mental health. And I think each of us had to look at our own mental health and continue to look at our own mental health as a result of this project and what a gift. And the people that we got to meet in doing Stranger at Home, so many of them over the 10 years that we got to interview and really get to know well, didn't make it into the final cut, but they all contributed to the final product. And then for you to come along into our world and your beautiful daughter there was so amazing, and your energy and what you're pulling together up in Oak Harbor, the Whidbey Island area, which is personally for me a very special place that I got to go to while I was growing up. My aunt and my cousins were up there, and Whidbey Island / Oak Harbor is an extremely big part of my heart. So to be able, when you showed up in our lives and you said Whidbey Island, Oak Harbor, I was like, you're kidding. So to me, it's just such an honor to be able to go up to that community specifically and bring this documentary that we hope brings about mental health change for the military, and to support you in the work that you're doing in your community, being a major voice for military mental health change.
Thank you.
Excuse me, kids. So thank you for asking us to be there.
Thank you. Thank you. And Sheila, you mentioned during this process that you went through several different interviews and people. And obviously at the final cut, we have Dr. Mark Russell. We have Stephen Elliott. We have Charles Figley. Talk us through this process of filming. Beth mentioned 10 years ago you started this. So, you know, I think when most people see films, they don't realize the work that goes behind just getting it to that final table to show to the world. So talk us through the process over the last 10 years. And Beth, if you have anything to chime in on this one, feel free.
Well, I'll start with what, you know, Beth says in a lot of the interviews that she's done is it's not a rom-com, meaning it's not a scripted, you go shoot it for a month, you know what you need to get in the script. It's a documentary. So it's an exploration. A documentary is an exploration of a subject matter. And 10 years ago, nobody was talking about mental health in the military. It was more PTSD at the time. And then over time, the D got dropped for some people. So PTSD was kind of really starting to gain a little traction back then. So we were interviewing various military veterans, and what we were discovering is their mental health really wasn't being taken care of. When they left individually, unlike in World War II, where you left with your unit and you came back with your unit and had the support of the unit. So they were kind of handed a piece of paper and said, bye-bye. And that transition, therefore, was not an easy one. And some had difficulties with that to varying degrees. So we were on that journey. And then we came across Dr. Mark Russell, who seemed to look at the situation with an umbrella, where he said, we need a behavioral health corps, so that the moment you enter the military, your mental health is treated equally to your physical health. He based a lot of his information, if not all of his information, on his own personal experience and the military's own research. So he was pulling together what was already there. So when you enter the military, your mental health is taken care of. During your service, your mental health is taken care of. And when you leave your service for the rest of your life, your mental health is taken care of like your physical health. So when we stumbled upon him, he seemed to bring the whole concept together for us in a way that we were not seeing anywhere else. And then he introduced us to Dr. Charles Figley and then to Stephen Elliott, who beautifully contributed and worked with Dr. Russell to try to bring about this message. And Beth,
yeah, no, that was a great overall of the 10 years. I'll add to what Sheila said, and I'm going to date myself here, but the great film director James Cameron for Terms of Endearment. If anybody remembers that film out there, Shirley MacLaine, took him 10 years to get that film made. So that over that marathon period, and it's a long journey making a documentary. It's not an overnight journey. We have learned that, and a lot of life happens in between, you know, the time you begin with an idea and the time where we are now, where we're in distribution with the film. So yes, we didn't know anything. We all had our military family members who struggled. For myself, two of my brothers went to West Point. A cousin, you know, I have so many. All of us have somebody in the military. I come from a pretty deep military family. Sheila comes from a deep military family, as well as a, you know, frontline police, you know, police department family. So it's all the same thing. All of these extreme situations of service that we all know and love people that they've been in. And if they're not treated and they're not healed, things are going to show up in their lives that are going to ripple effect onto families. I've learned this, and that's the healing that I've had to learn and come to terms with for myself. And I walked into this film really, really looking at those issues for myself. I had someone very, very, very close to me who was suicidal. I had no idea that they were in that place. And, you know, without information, without forgiveness of self, we do crazy things to ourselves. So that was my journey of really exploring my own mental health and getting help. And I typically have done that through my work, through my art. And so when this film project came in the door 10 years ago, and it was just about what is PTSD, we really didn't have a vision for the story at the time. And as Sheila said, my co-producer and my co-director, Luis, who's our lead editor, we all said yes to this and started off on this journey together. And eventually we met our lead storyteller who, you know, we won't give it away, but we'll give it away a little bit. You know, spoiler alert, he was a military mental health whistleblower at the height of the Iraq invasion. As a military psychologist in the Navy, your branch, Rachel, he saw inside that the military's deliberate neglect of the mental health piece. Oh, we have the best military in the, you know, mental health in the world. Well, they didn't. They weren't acting on their own best studies, their own research, their own therapies and treatments. And he, as an officer and a military psychologist, said, we got to do something or we're going to have a major, pardon my French folks, a major shitstorm after, you know, Operation Iraqi Freedom, Operation, why am I blanking?
Enduring Freedom.
Thank you very much. We're going to have a shitstorm. It's going to be a cumulative mental health crisis if we don't take care of this now. And he got a lot of lip service. Yeah. You're right. We got to do this. Nothing got done. And long story short, this is the spoiler alert. He could no longer be complicit with the neglect as an officer and someone who'd signed on, sworn in as a military psychologist to help his people. And he blew the whistle. He spoke in front of Congress. He hung the military's what they say they were going to do, but they're not doing it out there. And it was a pretty serious bit of repercussion for him. He's going to be at the screening event in Oak Harbor. So we heard his story and we said, oh, this is the real story, not just talking about PTS. So the film is really a very intimate storytelling piece about Dr. Mark Russell's journey and our two other veterans. They're all from different war conflicts and different ages, and they all work together in cohort to change the attitudes and the policies that are currently operating for military mental health, policies that unfortunately still do more harm than good to help the membership. The biggest barrier to care, I'm sure, Rachel, you can speak so lengthily on this one.
Absolutely.
Is stigma. The climate of stigma within the military still exists to this day. You are labeled as weak. And in Mark's case, as a military mental health provider, if someone was sent to him, a CO sent them, sent him someone as a military psychologist, didn't want them anymore because they were acting out. They were struggling with a deployment, with the fourth deployment, and they were having problems. And the commander was saying, I can't use them anymore. It was Mark's job as a wizard to write them up as with a personality disorder. And to this day, when that box is checked, because he had to, that person won't be discharged honorably. They'll have a regular discharge, which won't allow them to get their full benefits. That exists.
Or certain jobs, like in the police force, the fire department, et cetera, which they would be beautifully trained for.
It's a black.
So the domino effect is significant.
Yeah, it's a black mark still against them for owning the fact that they need help psychologically, emotionally, mentally. And so the film is really about that bigger message, that bigger mission of creating that support, as Sheila described, for someone who, before they even discharge, to have the open conversations before people even discharge, so that they're going to know that they're going to successfully come out of service and back to civilian life. We couldn't have this, we were not able to have this conversation openly in front of people, 10 years ago, it just wasn't. But thanks to a pandemic, the mental health conversation is now a very big conversation. So we're just chewing on that, the ripeness of this time. And that's, to really have those, what you're doing with your show, Rachel, having those open conversations about mental health. We all struggle with something, we all have trauma. We all know what that is, thanks to a pandemic. And we need to be able to talk compassionately and help each other rather than demonize each other on these subjects. So that's what the film's really, the bigger Uber mission and message of the film is about. It's an intimate film with a big story. So
And it's so impactful. I think that when people here, I talked to someone the other day and I told her that this film was coming to Oak Harbor, told her about the event. And one of the first few words out of her mouth was, "That sounds depressing." And, and I kind of sat with that for a little bit because I was thinking to myself, why should mental health, why should that word automatically bring up a depressing connotation? Or why should it bring up feelings of depression? Because mental health isn't just the depressing piece, right? Mental health is really the overarching piece of prevention, prevention of depression, or, prevention of the negative things, but really just taking care of ourselves in general. And so I think the film does such a great job of not just being this depressing story of, the horrible things that happen in the military, obviously touches on what it can be like in the military. But I think it does such a great job from viewing it myself of just stating, these are the issues. This is what we need to do to fix these issues. Here's evidence of what we can do to fix these issues. And it really, you've done such a beautiful job with that. Can you talk to us about what is significant about Dr. Charles Bigley and Stephen Elliott? And you don't have to get super, super deep into it like you did Dr. Mark Russell, but just so that the listeners know, what is so special about these people in the film?
Shelly, you want to jump there?
Sure, I'll start it off. Dr. Charles Bigley is who we got introduced to first from Mark Russell. And Charles is from the Vietnam era. And for those that are younger, may not know that when the Vietnam veterans came back, that war was not a very popular war. So they, unfortunately, were treated very, very poorly. And as Steve and beautifully states in the film, we've gotten to a place where we separate those that serve from the politicians that may be sending them off to wars that are not very popular. So that's a good thing, as Stephen would say. So Charles is a phenomenal writer. He has many books out there. He is a world-renowned trauma expert. And he and Mark worked together on a book. And as Mark states, Charles kind of helps ground him. And Charles is more of, not that they both aren't people of wisdom, but Charles just has sort of that older generation wisdom that helps ground Mark. So it was his trauma expertise and Mark's generation that they found a connection with the lack of mental health care, both seeing that there was a tremendous lack of mental health care. And why? Why are we not treating it equally to physical care? As you said, Rachel, you work out to keep your body in shape. Why don't we naturally work out to keep our mind in shape and incorporate both those things naturally into our lives? I think we're getting there. Like Beth said, the pandemic really helped bring that into focus. And we're now really thinking about it in our daily lives, which is fantastic. And then Dr. Mark Russell introduced us to Stephen Elliott, who was involved in the Friendly Fire incident with and a former NFL football player, Pat Tillman. And when it went down, the public was told a very different story to what actually happened for Stephen. And he didn't realize that until he got back into the United States and realized, whoa, the military has been telling a far different story than what really happened. And then the story got out that it was actually a friendly fire incident. So that brought up, and many other things brought up, but that also brought up the moral injury aspect of, we'll stick with the military, of what military personnel go through. And for me, I think there's a lot of definitions of what moral injury is. But for me, I've heard so many stories from sexual assault by your fellow soldiers to moral injuries out on the battlefield. You had to do something that went totally against your moral compass. And look, war in and of itself is a huge moral injury, to, in my opinion, to the human race. It's, as again, another quote out of the film from Stephen is, it's man killing man, which technically is a crime, you know, not literally, but technically is a crime as we human beings have defined it. So, and each one of them brought, so Stephen is from the more current wars. Mark was the previous generation, and then Charles was from Vietnam. So it's awesome, may not be the right word, but to me, it feels awesome to have three generations seeing this one subject matter in a slightly different way, combining their energies to make it a national issue to say, hey, we need a behavioral health corps. And oh, by the way, not just for the military, it'd be nice to have one at the national level for the entire country. You know, I thought it was a kind of a bit of a disservice and really spoke to the lack of understanding of mental health when during the pandemic, we didn't have a mental health person speaking to the nation on a regular basis. Hey, how you guys doing? Check in on each other. This is what you can do to take care of yourself. What my mother loved in New York was the mayor spoke to the town once a week. Talk to New York City area once a week. They loved that. It was like the old, I remember when the radio was playing and I'd listen to the Sunday night theater and you would sit around the radio and it was kind of the same thing. You sat around the TV once a week to hear the message. You felt like dad or grandpa was connecting and going, how you doing? Are you okay? I'm here. I know it's difficult. We can get through that. I was hoping that was going to happen on a national level. So these three incredible men want to do a service, not only for the military and veterans, active military and veterans, but also at the national level. So three generations working towards one goal, I think has just been incredible. Yeah. And Beth, I know you can add to those men.
Yeah, no, you did a great job. You know, one of the things that we say in the film is that the military, they have to, because it was your job. You can really speak to this, Rachel. They have to train human beings to kill or be killed. They have to, you know, change your central nervous system, radically change your central nervous system to train you to do that. They use powerful psychology to do that. What they don't do, and this is the conversation, this is where our, you know, this is the, hey, we got to do this better. They don't use psychology to untrain them from that mindset. And so this is where we, you know, this is what they know to do, but we're not doing it. But it's just this, instead of mental health, perhaps we can start using words like mental fitness. That just feels a little bit better. You know, it doesn't feel like so depressing or so bad. That's that stigma that makes us go, oh, it's depressing. No, mental health is part of what we need to have to be a balanced human being. And I'm going to add one more thing for you to take to anyone else that says, oh, that sounds depressing. Sheila mentioned this. This isn't a romantic comedy, this film. This really isn't. But I do tell people that it's a love story. Mm. It's a love story about how we can do better by the people that serve our country. And the sub-love story inside of that is that all of our principal people, intimately speaking about their experiences and their voices for other veterans and their families, they all love the military. They loved their military experience.
That kind of blew my mind.
Yeah.
Over the 10 years.
Yeah.
What everybody went through, they all, to a person, all still said, and yet I love the institution. I thought that was so incredibly cool.
Me too. I just got goosebumps. So there's a lot of love in this film. The message of love, even though it's not lighter fare. So, you know,
and not only that, Beth, but when someone says it's depressing.
Yeah.
Yeah. To me, what's more depressing is, and these are the U.S. military statistics, 4 suicides to every 1 combat death.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what? Are you kidding me? And that is not a national issue for them? That's a little mind-blowing to me. That's not okay for me. And as Beth says, all 3 of us, Beth, Lou and I, all have military connections, first responder connections. We've seen it firsthand. So to me, that's just not okay. So, you know, and like Beth says, it's a big subject matter that has a lot of love wrapped in it. And all these guys want to do is do the right thing by their fellow active military and veterans. And to me, that is a gorgeous love story.
Yeah, and it's what you're doing, Rachel. The mm-hmm. that you're taking the message of the film and wanting it to amplify your great desire in your beautiful Oak Harbor community to bring a fully realized, you know, military and veteran reintegration center and resources, education, awareness, which you have none. That's how our first conversation started. It's like, what? No, but here we go. You're doing it, and it takes guts and bravery and one community at a time. And that's why we're so happy to have the film be a conversation starter for your kickoff for that bigger dream. So
absolutely. And I think it's important to talk to you talked about the training of a mindset, a combat mindset. And I think for the people that are listening in that maybe were in more of support roles or maybe served during peacetime or were never trained for combat, this conversation is just as important, because while someone like me may not have gone out and seen combat, I think the military experience in itself and what I have learned from interviewing people, from talking to Maurice Wilson, learning more about that brain psychology that takes place from just joining the military, from going through the boot camp, 8, 10, 12 weeks, whatever it is, depending on the service. Going through that experience alone changes our brain psychology as veterans, as active duty service members, even reservists. The family members' brain psychology changes too, to even take it that far. But understanding that this is not just about combat and war trauma, because when we talk about mental health, it really affects anyone that has joined the military, because it is a complete lifestyle change. And one of my most recent guests put it in such a beautiful way, talking about how in the military, when we're serving, we're getting these constant hits of dopamine from being told, hey, here's this award. You volunteered so many hours, here's an award. You went overseas for this many days, here's another award. Oh, you did really good. Here's these collateral duties. Here's this, here's that. It's constant recognition. The rank system alone, constant recognition. And when we separate from the military, it's like an immediate withdrawal and we lose that. And so to not have that continuous support to help us while we're serving active duty, to help us afterwards, you know, to just support service members better, I think it's such an important conversation to have. And then to speak to the piece where you say, you know, maybe mental wellness instead of mental health, and trying to destigmatize the word. I recently heard Kevin Hines speak in person. And for anyone who doesn't know who he is, he jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge early 2000s and he survived it. And it was a suicide attempt. And one of the words that he likes to use is he likes to say brain health rather than mental health. And the reason for that is because now it is a physical organ we're talking about. Now it'd be like heart health, right? Now it sounds less stigmatized, because when people hear brain health, they're not thinking the same thing, or maybe not having the same feelings that come with the word mental health. So something to kind of think about and changing the verbiage and the language to destigmatize. I really liked that and it resonated a lot with me. So I've been trying to change my language a lot more to say brain health rather than mental health. I think that really helps that cultural piece of the stigma. So as far as the mission of the film, I know you've mentioned it a few times, but I want to have a piece just talking about it. But I also want to hear what you have done with the film so far. I know you've gone to several film festivals. Obviously, we're doing this private screening in Oak Harbor, Washington on the 30th of this month. But if you could just talk to us, either one of you can take this question about what the film has done so far and what is the overarching mission of the film.
Want to take the lead on that one, Beth?
Yeah, sure. Sheila and I were just talking about this right before we jumped on your podcast, Rachel. So this is our most potent impact. Another word for that is distribution period. And what that means for us is we did film festivals. That was our first stage of impact and distribution. We were at the right festivals that were right for us. We got our laurels. We moved on from there and we got selected for PBS distribution, which has just been a huge momentum and trajectory piece for us. About a year ago, we got selected for PBS distribution, and it's been a year of lining up all of the ducks for our national launch with them around Veterans Day in November. And out of that, we have our educational window that's part of our impact and distribution, where our intention is to do virtual and live screening events with organizations, institutions that resonate with these subject matters: trauma, resilience, mental brain fitness, brain health, mental well, you know, overall well-being. That's who we're targeting to have the community ongoing conversations with. And that's starting to pick up as well. And we're just, you know, we're thrilled that we're going to be in Oak Harbor with you. We're going to be doing another virtual screening event in October with an organization, a mental health organization out of New York. And in April, we've got on the calendar that's coming up a screening event, live screening event, virtual and live, with the Harvard Kennedy School of Policy, which is huge for us because the film really addresses we've got these policies that are in place that aren't helping. A climate of stigma. There's no behavioral health corps. There's no national reintegration program. We need a reintegration program. We need a behavioral health corps. We need an anti-stigma climate. These are policies. And that's what the film really addresses. These are the film's solutions and message for radical change that will address the crisis that we're in right now. You know, one suicide is too many a day. We still have a 22 military and active duty veteran, suicide rate per day. That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. So that the film is really about the bigger, that the policy piece, get the foundation a little bit more, working better, like system health, like brain health, system health, have that be really working for our service members and go from there. So to be at the Harvard Kennedy School of Policy during an election year, that's pretty good stuff for this film that started out 10 years ago. So that's where we are. That's how we're going. And, it's all.
And if I can piggyback off that, it's the regional screenings. Yes. That are so important, whether they be virtual or in person or a hybrid of each. Yeah. And I just want to really thank you, Rachel, and the Oak Harbor community for embracing this event. Yeah. I mean, it's huge for you guys to have such a big military population there and be willing to have an event like this and look at what can be a difficult subject matter. But there are solutions. And what I so loved and what was a very conscious effort on our part was to make this a solution-based documentary. We just don't go, hey, 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 problem, problem, problem. We go, issue, solution, issue, solution, issue, solution. So to us, that was extremely important. And again, I just can't thank you enough, Oak Harbor, and your whole community for just supporting Rachel in the efforts to bring us up there, to bring Maurice Wilson and Vic Martin from the San Diego area. And I know we have some folks from Reboot, and I'm forgetting the other name of the organization. I apologize.
Operation Military Family.
Thank you. No. For everybody to bring their energies up to go, hey, this is what's working for us. And if we can support you, Oak Harbor, in any way for you to use the resources that you already have or support you with some of the resources they can bring, I just think it's phenomenal. So not only are you bringing up the film to go, hey, let's take a look at this. It's a conversation starter. You then, Rachel, brought up people that are putting solutions in place successfully. And Oak Harbor is going to be another model to look at and go, hey, look what they did there. We can do it here too. So again, thank you, Rachel, and thank you, Oak Harbor community, for allowing us to come in and speak our piece.
Thank you. And I want people to understand, if you're listening and you are in the Oak Harbor area, understand that Island County, which does consist of both Whidbey and Camano Island, but I would boldly put out there that it's probably majority Whidbey Island, has the highest per capita rate of veterans in the entire state of Washington. Small community, very, very large number of veterans, not to mention Naval Air Station Whidbey Island. And realistically, a lot of veterans like to come back to Whidbey and retire because it is such a beautiful place and a beautiful community. But needing the support in this area, it is vital to our community thriving up here. And so know that this event on the 30th of September, 2023, it is not just about the film. The film is phenomenal and you're all going to love it. If you come out and see the event, you're going to love meeting everyone. The film is just incredibly impactful. What I am so incredibly excited about beyond the film is that impact that Sheila alluded to. And what it's going to do beyond this event is changing the trajectory of what it looks like to be an active duty member or a veteran in the Oak Harbor area. and finally having something available to help just connect people. I think there's so much power in connection. And so Beth and Sheila, I am so appreciative of you coming on and just sharing a little bit about the film, what it's about, the journey to get there. I'm so grateful to have met the both of you. And Beth is the one that actually connected me to Maurice and Vic with the San Diego Veterans Coalition. And so it's just been this beautiful process of arranging this event, getting all the little pieces in place, and getting geared up to go for Save a Life. So if you two wouldn't mind just ending this off by telling everyone where they can find you, where they can support Stranger at Home, how they can be in the loop when this film releases on PBS in November. And then we will wrap it up with some last statements. But before we get there, just tell us where people can find you and support.
I'll take the first half of that, Beth, and then you can finish me off there. Sure. Our website, pardon me today, I'm battling something in my throat. Our website is strangeratHome.org, and you can find out more about the film there. Our promo is there. And we also have a host and event page. So if you too want to bring Stranger at Home to your community to do what Rachel is doing in the Oak Harbor Whidbey Island community, we have virtual screenings, we have in-person screenings, and we have hybrid experiences. So you can find that host and event page on strangeratHome.org. And you can also find out more about the film and see the trailer there.
And I would, brilliant. And I would just add, you know, there's a join us button on our website to get on our village list. That's where we'll keep you posted about, you know, the PBS airing dates and everything else. That's our village. So do join us. And, you know, I'm going to reiterate to Rachel, you know, just this is an incredible conversation that you have started. And I look forward, we all look forward to just continuing it at the event. I just think it's going to be a really special community experience. And I mean that from the deepest sense of what community really can look like. So you're the bomb. You really are. And I hope you tell people where they can go to come to the event.
Oh yeah. We've been talking about it for months around here, but it's been probably one of the toughest things in my life arranging something like this, because I've never done anything like this before. So the support from the both of you has just been, I'm so grateful for the support and the connections and everything that it took to really pull everything together. And again, if you're listening to this episode and you have some time on the 30th of September, I know there's some people that are coming and they have to leave a little early. That's okay. Be there if you can be there, because this truly is going to be the catalyst for some incredibly positive change in this community. And you'll want to be a part of that. So Beth and Sheila, I am going to wrap this up today by just asking if you have any last words or pieces of advice that you want to leave the listeners with. And we'll start with you, Beth.
Oh, goodness. I the only thing that I'd like to leave the listeners with is to just tag on to what you said about just that being in the service, if you've never been in the service, and I have not, it requires so much. It's a real commitment to putting your life on the line, whether you serve or not, or whether you're in combat or not. So to your great clarification, Rachel, that service mentality, that you're signing up to put your life on the line, that changes a person. And that we all need to have more compassionate understanding of that job, and to really help these folks returning back to the civilian sector. They're so well trained. They're so loyal. They're so, you know, community focused. They've worked in community. To use them and not discard them by not helping them. So even if you don't I just want to say, even if you don't understand something, we can have greater compassion and higher conversation about loving each other. That's my
Yeah, I think for me, it's I'm really, really curious and interested to hear the conversation from the folks in Oak Harbor. I'm really looking forward to that and hearing what their questions are, what their concerns are, what their thoughts are. That's always intrigues me when we go somewhere to hear what the people in that particular area have to say about everything regarding the topic. I'll say as a civilian, one thing that really struck me with some of the people that we spoke with, including civilians who do work for the military, for veterans, is, you know, stay in touch with your community, even in the simplest ways, by standing in line at a store and saying, hey, hope your day's going okay. And if it's not, I hope it goes better later. Little things we can say to each other, or a smile or a wave, I think can really make a difference. And whether someone saw combat or not, I'm a lay person, I'm a civilian. I will never understand what you have gone through, so I will never purport to think I have. But what I can do as a human fellow human being is just see someone who may look like they're having not the best day or the best moment, and just say, hey man, I hope it's okay. I'm thinking of you, whatever comes to you in that moment, or just, you know, I hope your day turns around later. The simplest things can make a huge difference. And we've heard from Vic Martin, who really works with some incredible veterans who are having a lot of difficulty, that a simple word or two shifted them from a really difficult path they were walking down in that moment and shifted them out of it just by hearing a simple word or two. So that's what I would leave all of us who are listening with, is regardless of who you're around, just reach out. And something we heard too from someone we interviewed down in San Diego, especially at the workplace, when you know there's a fellow veteran, or not a fellow veteran, but there is a veteran working there, as she says, we're not to be afraid of, you know, like we're just there working. So, you know, if you want to thank them for their service, that's up to you, but just always be there for each other. And I think acknowledging their service in some way can be part of the healing process for everyone involved, you know, and the civilian world as well. I think we can do a little bit more, be a little bit more conscious to the work that, as we call it, our warrior class does for us. Mm-hmm. So that's how I would leave it.
Thank you for taking the time to listen in today. With your support, we are able to increase awareness of the mental health issues affecting service members and veterans today, with the goal of creating positive change. If you got value from this episode, please take 30 seconds to subscribe and share this episode within your own network. Until next time, remember, your story matters, your mental health matters, and your story doesn't end here.